thanks so much for joining us for this week's Tech Law 10 podcast. I'm Jonathan Armstrong. I'm speaking to you from the UK. And Eric?
This is Eric Sinrod, Jonathan's partner in San Francisco.
So what we do each week is we sit down and we talk across the Atlantic about the hot technology law news issues of the day. And Eric, this week you're still perplexed by some announcements about the FBI.
Well, and actually not only the FBI, but the Department of Homeland Security. We all like to play with our social media these days, and whether we're on Facebook or Twitter, and of course you hear Jonathan and I talking about what we do there. We'd like to think we're doing that relatively free of government oversight, and you know, we hope to think that we're not in a world of, you know, Orwellian 1984. But according to recent press reports, some things have come to light. One, the Department of Homeland Security's Command Center apparently regularly monitors social networking sites like Facebook and Twitter, popular sites like Hulu, and controversial sites including, you know, WikiLeaks, and news and commentary sites like the Huffington Post and the Drudge Report. On top of that, there's been some recent indications that our Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, is developing a web application that will have the ability to also monitor social media sites like Facebook and Twitter. And the parent mission behind this is to give the FBI intelligence about potential security threats. This social media monitoring plan by the FBI has been reported on by Mashable.com. This apparently came to light, as revealed by Mashable, through an inadvertent revelation by the Strategic Information and Operations Center of the FBI when it was making a market research request for social media application endeavors. And this also came to light through the New Scientist magazine. Privacy advocates, you know, obviously are generally against government monitoring of social media sites. The FBI says that its plan in this context really is only to gain access to publicly available information, so not to worry. The government view is that any information posted online for public viewing is legitimate information for it to search, and any privacy interest would be de minimis. And while the policy in favor of preventing security threats and crises is strong. On the other hand, of course, there's always another hand when we're dealing with privacy versus public interest. The response from privacy advocates is that while people may provide information on social media sites in a public fashion, they do not do so thinking that what they say and post might be monitored by the government. And with such government monitoring, there could be a chilling effect on Internet speech and conduct. Of course, the government, going back to the first hand, might respond to this argument by asserting that if you're not doing anything wrong and if you're not contributing to a security threat, you have nothing to worry about in terms of what you post on social media sites. But then flipping back, privacy advocates could reply by arguing that even if someone is innocent of wrongdoing, you know, his or her social media posts could be potentially misconstrued, causing that person to incorrectly fall under the government's suspicion. So we have a real debate here, and Jonathan, I'd like to throw it now back to you and see what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is almost the U.S. end of a debate that we're seeing all around the world. As you know, I was in Canada recently, and I know Canada is bringing in new legislation that will increase the powers of the investigatory bodies to get at data and to make people store it on their behalf. And I think we've had a history, haven't we, of different anti-terror, pro-security applications that monitor our online behaviors. I was frightened, I think, by an earlier iteration from the Department of Homeland Security in the early days where I think they were wanting access to people's medical records and so on to try and predict when people were going over the edge and when terrorism was likely. And that scheme, which I think was called TIA, was it? Total Information Awareness, I think was obviously restricted when people both looked at the privacy implications, but also the technology implications. I mean, we do get issues in the UK, for example, where some supermarkets have scaled back their data collection processes because they say they've just got too much data to interrogate it properly. I know, for example, that Senator Kennedy said, didn't he, that he'd been stopped 8 or 9 times at the airport leaving D.C. Because somebody similar to his name was on a terrorist watch list. And your worry is that if the system is making the same mistakes multiple times, then there's something wrong with the system. I occasionally speak at conferences with interesting people in this space, and I was shown a report which monitored what was on the internet about me and made various assumptions, and it was utterly fascinating, I have to tell you. And the amount of information, I guess we all put a lot of information out there on the internet and into the public domain, but to see how various algorithm and use of semantic web techniques could assimilate that data and then, you know, literally take one piece of data from here, another there, associate it with something else, and then make a supposition on that basis was truly amazing. But equally, I suppose I tend to be conservative with a very small c. I think that, generally speaking, it goes back to what we've talked about before Christmas. You oughtn't to presume that there's any hiding place online. That's why we're trying to educate our children and our peers to not put information that they don't want public onto the internet. That's why bodies like Nominate are doing excellent work through their Know the Net campaign to tell people to restrict the data that they put themselves online. And I guess with that proviso, I almost tend to say that, almost tend to agree with the FBI, really, that if it's up there, it is fair game and it's public. Against that, as you know, Eric, we've talked about it briefly before, the EU has these proposals called the Right to be Forgotten. You can get our update at www.bit.ly/new-EU-data. And they, I think, are at the other end of the scale. I think they could be equally chilling for the internet that allow people to just cover their tracks. We've talked about this briefly before. And I think we do have to find a happy balance. But my view is, I think that it's got to be a happy balance that's informed through public debate. It isn't just knee-jerk reactions, if you like. And my worry is that we find out about these systems really late in the day after they've been implemented and without full disclosure. And I think that's probably wrong as well.
Well, we're pushing up to our 10, if we're not past it, but I just have one comment in response. I think it's well and good to tell people be careful what you put on the internet and don't say anything on the internet, whether by email, posting, you know, social media, that you wouldn't want to have the whole world to see, for example, on the front page of a newspaper. But that's easier said than done. I mean, I really believe that, you know, human communication has really moved the way of, you know, digital electronic means, and it's how people now talk to one another. And to presume that people only will have public conversations or converse only about what it would truly be fit for everyone in the world to see and not have a private conversation back and forth, I think is not realistic anymore. And
no.
People clearly have to be careful, but we're on our devices, we're on our computers all day long, and necessarily there are going to be some communications that you'd like to think are not fair game for others. So that's my final point. So my name is Eric Sinrod. I'm your partner at Duane Morris in San Francisco. I'm at ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. Jonathan will close us out in a second. As we've told you before, you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn. We're happy you're part of our community here. And Jonathan, why don't you bring it home?
Yes, I'm Jonathan Armstrong at jparmstrong@duanemorris.com. Thank you for joining us. Do keep suggesting your topics to us, and we'll try and cover them in future podcasts. You can connect with us through those email addresses, through LinkedIn, where we've got a special Tech Law 10 group, and we'll post the EU data alert in that group as well. All that remains is to say thank you for listening.